up on the KUCB News. The city sets an application deadline for the vacant public at large seat on the Museum of the Illusions Board of Directors. And the Pribilof School District is looking for a new superintendent. Stay tuned.
Local news is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 22 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair, 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Greta Mart with some local news on Thursday, December 17, 2015. Yesterday, we reported that Wayne Chin, the newest member of the Museum of the Illusions Board of Directors, has resigned. His resignation comes just 1 week after he was appointed to the board by a slim majority vote of the City Council. Today on the city's website, there is a notice advertising the vacant seat. The notice gives a deadline of January 6th. Those interested in volunteering to serve on the governing board of the museum should submit their application by that date. The city clerk's office processes the application, and application forms can be found there or online at the city's website. The notice states that, quote, qualifications to serve vary, but the most important qualifications are interest and a willingness to serve. The public at large seat is appointed by the mayor and confirmed by the city council. An appointment is expected on the agenda at the January 12th city council meeting. The Association of Alaska School Boards announced this week it is looking for a new superintendent for the Pribilof School District. Right now, 10 students are enrolled at the district school on St. George Island, and 71 are at the school on St. Paul Island. The job notice sent by the School Board Association says the district is one of the most isolated in the U.S., but also one of the most unique and beautiful. Applications for the superintendent position are due by March 7th for a July 1st starting date. For a recent profile on the Pribilof School District and its current superintendent, visit the KUCB website and search for the headline, Fewer Fish, Fewer Kids. The Alaska Sea Grant Program announces new online business tools to help Alaskan commercial fishermen. Via a website called Alaska Sea Grant Fish Biz, spelled with a Z, commercial fishermen can find information on financing and other business management assistance. The website's resources are organized by fishing career phases. For those just starting out, they can find tools and resources about paying for a first boat and loans. For those fishermen ready for retirement, the website provides information on retirement investments and planning an exit strategy. While the website's been around for a while, the current version is much improved. A rural cooperative bank called CoBank funded the new version. The FishBiz website address is fishbiz.seagrant.uaf.edu. According to the online publication Undercurrent News, this week an effort to remove the name Alaska from pollock sold at market was successful. U.S. Senators Lisa Murkowski and Maria Cantwell have been supportive of a provision in the current congressional spending bill that will prevent pollock caught in Russia from being called Alaska pollock. According to Cantwell's office, in 2012, over 100 million pounds of Russian pollock were sold in the U.S. disguised by the name Alaska pollock, because that's how the FDA officially listed the fish. Now that the FDA listing is just pollock, everybody has to sell their catch under that name. Pollock caught in Alaskan waters will also be labeled as just plain pollock, but Alaska fishing companies can add the fish's origin on the label and marketing efforts. Faced with a multi-billion dollar budget gap, nearly every agency in the state is looking at ways to cut spending. The state boards of fish and game are no exception, and last week they held a joint meeting to talk about what could be cut. KDLG's Molly Dishner has more.
The message in public testimony was clear. Whatever cuts are made, don't reduce the public's access to the rulemaking process for fish and game. Gary Stevens spoke on behalf of the Alaska Outdoor Council.
We're not at all interested in helping the department diminish the public's opportunity to participate in the regulatory process by supporting any cuts to board. We have a hard time understanding why any of the cuts need to come out of the statutorily protected public process of regulating fish and game.
There was no specific action on the table at the December 9th meeting. Instead, it was meant to give the boards a better sense of public sentiment on a wide range of possible cuts, from reducing how often the Board of Fish discusses every region to getting rid of the free coffee at meetings. Dillingham's Gary Klein summed up much of the testimony.
Don't move the three-year cycle to five-year cycles. I do agree that it is too long, mainly because the decisions made at these meetings have such a huge impact on our Alaskan residents.
Testifiers also talked about the need to preserve the advisory committee process, including having in-person meetings and having Fish and Game staff on hand to participate. Some, including Dillingham's Gayla Hossett, also say any effort to streamline the proposal process shouldn't come at the expense of public participation.
In regards to the proposal process, I think that individuals should still be able to submit proposals, but I really do think that one voice is a strong voice, because one voice could make a difference and a change, and I don't want it to where we don't have that voice anymore.
A few also suggested new revenue sources for the boards and for Fish and Game in general, like using the permanent fund reserve to pay for counting towers. Mark Richards is the chair of the Alaska Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, which is working on another new source of revenue.
And rather than look at cuts, we would like the game side to look at producing more revenue via that hunting license increase.
No action was taken at the meeting. The committee will get together again in January for further discussion. By then, they're expected to have more results from a survey looking for public input on cuts and more information from a Fish and Game operational review. In Dillingham, I'm Molly Dishner.
In preparation for a meeting scheduled in Fairbanks in mid-January, the Alaska Board of Fisheries is now accepting public comment on several new proposals concerning finfish. The board's upcoming five-day meeting is open to the public and will offer a live audio stream via the Alaska Board of Fisheries website. And finally, the Unalaska Planning Commission meets tonight at City Hall. On the agenda are two public hearings concerning the Hester subdivision on Eagle Crest Court and the Parkside Estates subdivision on East Broadway Avenue. The commission is also expected to approve a resolution that would amend city code regarding requirements for subdivision utility improvements. The meeting starts at 6 p.m. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Greta Mart. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. We post our newscasts soon after they air. Stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecast.
Do you have a news tip, photos, or video to share with the community? Call up the tip line at 581-6700 or email news@kucb.org and help keep your community informed.